Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is David Crow of RestoreAmerica.org, and we're going to talk about the issue of getting Christians out to vote and to vote their Christian values and conscience. And there is a problem, it seems to me, with voter apathy on the part of Christians. Do we not realize how late the hour appears to be? David Crow, thank you so much for joining us.
Glad to be on.
Tell us a little bit about your background, then we'll get right into the topic.
Well, I'm probably older than most of the folks that you interview. I'm a Vietnam vet, native Oregonian, and I've run this organization called Restore America for 20 years now. In fact, it's coming up on the 7th to be 20 years. And I got involved because my first engagement was on a school board in Bend, Oregon. That's where I really realized what was going on with our schools and who's really running it. Knew Bill Bennett at the time and talked to him. But I've been involved now for quite some time in the political side. I've run political campaigns and was Pat Robertson's campaign director in Oregon. So I go back quite a ways, but I have been following all of this for quite some time. I was involved with the Arlington Group in Washington, D.C. for several years. In fact, I attended T. James Kennedy's conference down in Florida, which led me to do three conferences like that in Oregon.
Oh, wow. But, yeah, those are called Reclaiming America for Christ. I know all about those. Yeah. I was at every single one of them.
I may have met you way back then, a lot of years ago, but at any rate, the whole matter of education now is huge because the secularists, and I just say really the unbelieving, uninformed, unschooled, biblical, unbiblical people who are running our schools have a totally different agenda than anything coming close to Christianity in the values of our founders. So that's why our kids today are leaving school, leaving college. They're not getting what they need in church, in our church youth groups and from the pulpit. There's too much of an understanding of separation of church and state, which was never what our founders intended. So we've gotten off track, and it's really a satanic, as far as I'm concerned, attack on the body of Christ to try and destroy America and destroy our families, which they've done. They've destroyed marriage. They have destroyed our morality. And so our society is permeated now with falsehoods that are taken as truisms. And so you can understand what's happening as a result of that. And now our young people are so deceived by the professors that they have in colleges and universities that socialism is fine. And these guys are tenured guys, and they are socialists, and many of them are communists. Mm. They're not going to come out and say that. Some will. But they can teach what they want. And so now capitalism is under fire along with all of our other values. So that gives you a little bit of a background of why I'm doing what I'm doing.
75% of college students are pro-abortion. I was shocked when I read that because I had thought that among, you know, younger people, there was a growing tide of embracing the pro-life values. 75%. And then I realized, well, wait a minute. Now, college students are, you know, they tend to be liberal. Remember the old statement from Winston Churchill, if you're not a liberal when you're age 20, you have no heart, but if you're not a conservative by age 40, you have no brain. You know, I've always loved that quote.
I've seen that. I've used it recently, so that's true. But our history has been revised. It's called revisionist history, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
And so our young people really don't know our history. They don't know these things, and that's why you get Ocasio-Cortez thinking, and Bernie Sanders is an avowed socialist, and so is Ocasio.
Yeah, and in fact, there was a Democrat, you know, one of the persons running for president. I never even heard of this guy, but he drew boos from a Democratic crowd when he said, "Look, the way to address this issue and the way to defeat Donald Trump is not by embracing socialism. Boo.
Yeah.
We can't embrace socialism. Boo." You know, it's like, oh, yeah. Man, how far have we gone?
This is former Governor Hickenlooper from Colorado.
No, actually, it was a different one. But maybe that was a different... Yeah, I'm talking about a different experience then, or a different particular news item. Maybe it happened more than once.
It was the other guy.
Delaney or something?
California. Yeah, Delaney.
There's so many of them running. It's like, how do you keep up with this? But there is something sad that a lot of Christians just sort of feel like, well, we just want to preach the gospel and, you know, not bother with the political stuff. And I can understand, you know, somebody saying, well, I'm from the pulpit, I'm never going to endorse any particular candidate, but should we not embrace Christian values from the pulpit? Of course we should.
Well, certainly we should, and that has been one of the glaring deficiencies in the body of Christ. I'm an ordained minister, by the way. And I've pastored churches.
What tradition, if I could ask?
Bible church. I graduated, or I went, excuse me, I didn't graduate. I went 4 years at Dallas Seminary after out of the Navy. And so our theology is different. And I understand Dallas is huge on pre-tribulation rapture, and that's fine. I don't get into arguing that because the Lord knows when he's going to return.
Mm-hmm.
Man doesn't. But anyway, we have a responsibility. The Old Testament is full of information constantly about kings and about rulers,
yeah,
about evil rulers, about good rulers, all of those things. And in America, as citizens, we have a responsibility and a duty as citizens to determine who our leaders are going to be. And we failed at that. And I may have mentioned, but there's 30 million evangelical born again, are professing to be born again, evangelical Christians in America who are not registered to vote. And that's a huge number. And as you recall, Hillary Clinton won California by 3 million. And it's not just California, she got the popular vote by 3 million. And we're in a serious, serious difficulty here with millennials. I had never heard the 75%. In fact, I doubt that very seriously.
Oh, well, it's the source of is a Breitbart report that just came out yesterday that I just read it. But I hope it's wrong. I hope it's wrong. I really do. I hope there's a misunderstanding or something. But I'll tell you, there's a quote from Calvin Coolidge, an unsung hero among presidents, although Ronald Reagan really liked him, and that's good. That says a lot because Reagan was great. But Coolidge said this: if good men don't hold office, bad men will.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
you want to
exactly
comment on that?
Well, that's exactly right. If people go to my website, there are a series of slides there that are quotes from Abraham Lincoln. Similar to that, also the vote or the comment by Calvin. And you know, there's just numerous quotes out there. Lincoln said that we would not fall from without, we'd fall from within.
Yes.
And so that's, Khrushchev was even right about that. So we're living up to what others have suggested, because we have not really given ourselves to our responsibility as Christians to be salt and light. And, you know, I think that King David, when he was a youth, when he talked about insulting the armies of the living God, when he was facing Goliath.
Mm-hmm.
And today we're facing Goliath, and he's big, and he's strong, and he's powerful. He's got lots of money. He's doing everything that he can to destroy America from within. And if the Christians don't wake up this cycle, I think that it could be finished. I think we could lose our religious liberties. In H.R. 5, which is now, I believe, called Senate 788, I think that's what it's called.
This is the Equality Act, so-called Equality Act?
Yes, it is. And there's,
it could spell the end of religious freedom in America, in a country founded for religious freedom.
You just can't believe all the things that that bill is going to do. It's going to destroy our religious freedom. It's going to destroy our Christian schools in terms of their ability to keep their teachers and staff and whatnot as Christians. And the LGBTQ are going to come in wherever they want to, and they will be able to sue you if you don't hire them. So it's, the whole thing is really a tool of the left, and it's a powerful tool, and it's designed to destroy our religious liberties. And that's what happened in the Church of England when the enforcement of the LGBT activists was taken over by the church. So recently a vicar, 14 years there in England, left. He resigned because it was so totally frustrating, because even the leaders of the church would not allow him to protest. And so that's what's happening. There is, the Christians are being forced into a corner, and if they don't behave, they're going to be sued and destroyed. We'll be destroyed from within and from our pulpits and our pews, both at the same time, in business as well.
Wow. Well, why the apathy in light of this kind of thing? Why the apathy on the part of so many pastors? Oh, no, I don't want to deal with politics. I just want to preach the gospel, which is good. Well, preach the gospel. But
that's true, but part of the gospel, and I don't know if these guys have read or remember Francis Schaeffer and what he taught about all of this. And frankly, it's a rejection or a refusal. It's cowardice, okay? It's cowardice in the pulpits to really address themselves. All they need to do is preach the gospel, teach what's in the scripture about homosexuality and about marriage and about all of the things that we're dealing with today. It could be dealt with, and there are a lot of pulpits that are dealing with it, but there's far too many, a huge number, that are afraid to deal with it because they don't want to be criticized by someone in the church. They don't want to be criticized by anyone outside the church. They're more concerned about keeping the billfolds in the pews, and that's sadly to say, that's the case. So we don't have, it's like Donald Trump. Here comes Donald Trump. And yes, does he have a questionable past? Yes, he does. But who doesn't? I defy anyone to step forward and say, I'm purer than the driven snow. They're not. I mean, we're all sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so there's a false righteousness in this country. And Christians are not standing up and just testifying that Jesus Christ has saved their life. Some do. Not enough do. But there's not enough Christians who really understand that when they place their faith in Jesus Christ, they have an eternal position in heaven. And so a lot of them just kind of, well, that's that. I guess I'm saved now, so I can go about my life. No, you can't. You can, but you shouldn't. Mm-hmm. You should love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, because he did you and he died for you. So the message needs to go forward. I'm so thankful for Franklin Graham stepping forward and leading, mm-hmm. and calling Christians to be responsible, because far too many leaders today are not willing to do that, and way too many of them don't even know anything about H.R. 5. And that's really sad, because they're avoiding the whole issue. So I'm virtually given up on churches and pastors and denominational leaders, because they're not leading like they should. So I'm going directly to the people. My appeal is to the people. And thankfully, a lot of them woke up with Donald Trump running, and the things that he promised are things that need to happen. And he is totally separate from the political world. He's coming from the business side of things. He's coming from a decision-based background, and he understands a lot of these things. And so what he's doing now, frankly, has been a breath of fresh air, and that's why I think people are going to vote for him again.
All right, we have about 1 minute to summarize. Are you hopeful for America or unhopeful?
Well, over the years, I have been very, very hopeful, but I've watched every election and watched and seen how the percentages are on evangelical turnout, because we're the largest voting bloc in the nation, evangelical Christians. We can sway anything that we really want to if we take it seriously, but we haven't after election after election. So there needs to be a huge outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this country. And I'm not just talking about charismatics. I'm talking about across the board, and an acceptance of our responsibility, or we'll lose our nation and we'll lose our freedoms. And then we'll say, what happened? Well, you didn't happen. That's the reason.
Wow.
The Christians didn't take it seriously. So I'm, you know, frankly, what Donald Trump has done has probably been the best thing to help him get reelected. And that's to put money back in people's pockets to address the situation. I'm all for the tariff. I'm sorry. Yeah, we're all going to pay a bit of a price, but I'll tell you what, we're paying more of a price by leaving our borders open.
Mm. All right, so, we're basically out of time, but I refer people to your website, restoreamerica.org. David Crowe, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you.
You bet. I appreciate it.
All right. God bless you now. Bye-bye.
God bless you too. Bye-bye.